And you're very welcome back to Lifeline. And I'm joined in the studio live with Ken Kieran. Good morning to you, Ken.
Good morning to you, Debbie.
And thanks a million for coming in and joining us here today. Ken, we're going to talk a little bit about your life and a little bit about the... I know you received a kidney going back 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And you have a book out and you're big into your music. So tell us, I know you've been in here once or twice with Leslie, tell us a little bit about how that all started about the kidney.
The transplant, I was diagnosed at 25 purely by chance. Just went down to Beaumont with a pain in my stomach one night. And there for about 13 hours, not slagging off the health system, but there for about 13 hours and nothing was happening. And they put it down to constipation of all things. So still, in inverted commas, nothing was happening. And so this Indian doctor came on about 6 o'clock in the morning and he just said, look, Mr. Kieran, we'll give you a scan. So that was grand. So another 2 hours passed or whatever. And he came back out and he said, look, we need to have a chat. And he brought me in. A simple thing, you got an A4 piece of white paper, drew two ovals on it and put a load of dots. And he says, that's your kidneys. And I'm sitting there going, like, the brain was only on 50% at that stage. So I'm looking at him going, and do you want to elaborate? So he just said, you have polycystic kidney disease. So I was 25. Obviously, I was going out drinking the head off myself every weekend and the whole lot. And his leaving line to me was, it's like having blue eyes. It's not life-threatening. So I walked away. Grand.
Thinking everything was okay.
Perfect. Yeah. And I wasn't getting any major symptoms, you know. So I says, well, are we going to do medication? So he put me on a course of medication and then that stopped. So there was no tablets then. So progressively over the next few years, I started to get kind of chronic fatigue, like, which I never would have, you know. I'm always kind of fairly on the go.
Yeah.
But I felt myself getting quite tired easily. But like any man, I denied it completely and just said, no, sure, look, it's grand, you know. Drink a can of something, like, and I'll be fine. And then I got pains in my back. Then they started about 3 or 4 years later. So it was like 25 up to about 29, yeah. And every so often I used to pee blood then.
Oh, well, that's a big, isn't it?
Huge.
And
yeah.
Get that checked out.
So I said to myself, I let it go for about 2 or 3 months and then I think someone might have noticed, right? And I said, right, I better go to the doctor. So I went down and he said, look, what's happening is the cysts are rupturing and that's what's causing the blood.
And why was this happening? Was it hereditary or just...
It should be, but they said in my case it was freak. Your mother or father should have it. Now, my father died 12 years ago and there was never any history. My mom is, like, as fit as a fiddle. You know, I can't say her age.
You can't say it came, you know, there's hereditary in your case. But
yeah, and to be honest with you, neither of them, like, he was always fairly healthy. My mum's as healthy as a horse, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So she never had any complaints like that. So they said it was just, personally, I think it's the milkman, but there's nobody owning up to it, you know what I mean? And the milkman was a ginger as well. So, so basically it just went on. And then I bought a house at the time then on my own. And I used to come home from work and say, right, make the dinner and blah, 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 and make the dinner. And then I'd say, right, I'll put that washing out. And it wouldn't be Mr. Domesticated, believe me, anybody that knows me. But I'd get on the couch to have literally a 20-minute lie down and I'd wake up at 2 in the morning.
So completely you were that tired.
Zonked. Yeah. The fatigue was ridiculous. But again, you're just in denial the whole time. Your concentration goes. I was working for Dell at the time. I'm a graphic designer by trade. And they were calling me into the office every second week going, why is this wrong again? Like, you know, and I had no answer for them. But your concentration is one of the things that goes as well, you know, so.
And did you not think at this stage, God, there must be something kind of really wrong if I'm this tired?
Oh, I knew there was, but until something drastic happened, I kind of said, sure, I'll just keep going, you know, because I did. I would have went back to the doctor the odd time, but they just put you on tablets, you know. They couldn't really do anything until it wasn't. See, I still had function in both my kidneys
right,
at the time.
Got to a stage where it,
exactly.
Yeah,
it's right. When your function goes to kind of go right. So it came up. That would have been 2006. Yeah, my dad died in 2006, and it was after my dad died this kicked off, which I'm kind of glad about that he never really got to witness any of it. And I had 2 friends' weddings in the May and the June of that year. And I'll never forget the headaches. Was your blood pressure shoots up with it, you know, it's one of the things. And I think both weddings I took about 24 paracetamol during the day, the whole day. Don't ask me how it kept going. And that was it. And I think after the second wedding, I was with my ex and we went back to her house and just got into the bed. I said I was wrecked. And I'm one of these 5.5 hour a night people and I slept for 15 hours straight.
So it wasn't was something really bad going on then at that stage.
That it was
getting
it.
Progressively worse.
So the following day we went into Beaumont then.
And what did they tell you? What was your outcome then?
The D word. The dialysis was just the word that I never wanted to hear, you know. And the guy at the time, now I respect him 1,000,000% now, but at the time I used to call him Dr. Death. He was my professor. And he, the reason why I didn't like him was because he told me all the stuff I didn't want to hear, you know. Now I know it was obviously sense, you know. And that was it then, yeah. So he just said, look, you're going to be starting dialysis. We'll give you a week to decide whether you want to do it at home or do it in the hospital. So you do it in the hospital, it's three nights a week for 4 hours.
Well, is it that much?
Yeah, but at home, it's every night during the week for 8 hours. So I kind of weighed it up and said, well, if I go to the hospital, I still can lead a normal life apart from that.
Yeah, exactly.
If you have it at home, you're looking at this stuff all the time. So the hospital worked out grand.
And would you stay overnight, those 3 nights?
No. You'd go to work. I'll tell you what it was, to be honest with you, Debbie. I said to myself, I was going to keep my life as normal as possible.
Yeah.
So they put on free taxis, never got a taxi. Now I'd be driving home. Obviously, the people on the radio can't see this face, but you're driving home like this, you know, completely. Because their kidneys weren't functioning, you're building up fluid. So they would have to be taking fluid. So they'd say, how many, what do you want us to take off you tonight? And of course, Mr. Jim here was like, oh, take 5 litres of fluid off, you know, want to fit into them jeans or whatever, you know. So basically, you know, that's what they used to do. And but it was 3 hours late. But as I said to people, I was working in Dell, the lands that I used to hang around, they used to just give me a load of DVDs every month.
Yeah.
And the girl I was with at the time bought me a portable DVD player. So I'd just go in, watch a few DVDs and have a sleep. And as I said to people, it was the one time nobody could ask you to do anything.
Exactly, yeah.
Couldn't be asked to empty the dishwasher. You couldn't be asked to do this, you know. And it was just, you know, you just got into it. Like, now, I'll be honest with you, for a while, it took me about 2 months to stop the kind of drinking at the weekend, maybe 3 months.
Was drinking a part? Do you think this was the cause of
it?
Wasn't. All?
No. They said I could have been taking heroin and it wouldn't have mattered.
Really?
Yeah.
But so it was just unlucky.
Yeah, totally. Just a freak thing. Yeah. And but the thing was, I said to myself, yeah, I was going out and I'd be going out on a Saturday night and I'd be going in for dialysis on a Sunday and, you know, like, there'd be tons of fluid on you and you'd be going, yeah, take the 5 litres. I didn't realise exactly what I was doing to the body. So I just woke up one day and I was right. Cop yourself on, Ken, because you were only supposed to have 1 litre of fluid a day. Now, if you think about that, that's like just one bottle of water per day. No glass of milk, no tea, no coffee.
Oh, in total, just...
In total. What I used to do was I used to buy these Ballygown, the small bottles, are 250 mils. So you could have 4 of them during the day. So you didn't feel so hard done by. And then I just got my head around it.
So you did dialysis for a while and then it came to where you had to have a transplant.
Yeah.
So how long did you were you on dialysis for?
7 months.
7 months in total. And then had you to wait long for a transplant?
No, to be honest, like you get put on the list kind of thing halfway through. Like if I got my evaluation at the start.
Sorry, was it 1 or 2 kidneys?
1. I have 3 kidneys now. Like I still have the other 2.
Oh, you still have the other 2?
So I have 2 in the back, if you want to call it, and then I've 1. Just in the front there.
Because you can live with 1 kidney, is that right?
You can if they're strong enough. Mine started to fail, like, to be honest, you know, I was very lucky now to get it after 7 months, because like, there's people still on dialysis 10 years, you know. But I got the evaluation about 4 months in, and this fella called David Hickey used to play for the Dublin Ga team in, I think it was 1975, around that time. I could get the years wrong there, probably putting years on the man, but he was a great doctor as well. And he came into the room, now this was after I caught myself on and started looking after myself, and he came in and just took one look at me. He says, you're going to have a kidney within a year. And I was looking at him kind of going, how can you say that to someone? Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Giving them false hope. And he just said, look, the whites of your eyes, your skin pallor, everything shows that you are actually looking. See, a lot of people gave them what's it called, Munchausen syndrome, where they make themselves sick. Do you know what I mean? They're afraid to actually go out into the sun, or afraid to do anything, you know. And he just said, no, he says, I can tell by you, you're looking after yourself, blah, blah, blah. So I kind of took that with a pinch of salt and said, look. So with the dialysis, you just got on with it. It was just...
You had to.
That was it. Yeah. You just got on with it. And then the fateful night happened and that was it.
And were you on call, like, waiting for this? Did you know it was going to happen? Like,
believe it or not, I came off stage in Fitzpatrick's in Killiney after doing a Christmas Rap Pack show. That's what I did. I came off and my dialysis was at, because it was around Christmas time, I decided to do it through the night. So they knew I was gigging. So I said, right, can I do it at this time? Yeah, no problem. So came off stage at 12, drove back to my mum's, got there for about 1, got into the bed until 3:30, back up at 3:30, put the tracksuit on, straight down to Beaumont to do dialysis. And the phone rang. Now, at the time, someone was ringing me on a private number and I was kind of not answering it. We won't go into much detail, but let's just say it was an ex. But I wouldn't answer the phone. And the rule of thumb was, even if you were standing on the top of the Eiffel Tower, you had to answer this phone. So, seemingly, the police arrived at my mum's house. I've never been, my dad was a policeman. I've never been in a police car in my life. So, they arrived and my mum's going, oh, what is he fucking doing? You know, so anyway, I was actually in the hospital doing dialysis at the time, but obviously nobody decided to have a look and check that. So they came down and just said, oh, yeah, sorry, I went a bit forward there. I actually rang your woman back. Regina was her name. She's the girl that's the transport coordinator. And I rang back and I said, look, I apologise sincerely. She says, well, the police are up at your mum's house and the whole shebang.
I'd love her.
So they just came back and said, they have a kidney for you. But, like, obviously they have a kidney for you, but there's still tests to do to make sure it's still a match and stuff like that, even though you've done the preliminary tests beforehand. And all the nurses were like, they're going, why aren't you excited? And I'm going, like, guys, there's a woman beside me, 65 years of age. There's a man here, nearly 72. These are on dialysis for the rest of their life, you know what I mean? And I can't be doing cartwheels here now. You know, so I said, look, I'm excited on the inside, believe me, but I'll wait till I get it done and then I'll So that was it. It was just fast forward everything then.
And you're taken down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Am I right in thinking someone can give you a kidney? One of your family? Or
they can, but to be quite honest with you, I think everybody came forward, but my younger sister was really kind of pushing for Katrina, and I just said no. I said, look, there's no way I'm going to have. But what happened with my dad, we were all still raw from my dad's death the year before. So I said, look, I'm not going to have, because she would have to go through psychological evaluation.
Well, it's a storyline going on Coronation Street, isn't it, at the moment?
But come here, I'll tell you one thing. You'd love to write to the scriptwriters and say, would you cop on, your woman with a full face of makeup in the bed and everything. You're like dead warmed up in the bed.
Is there a big kind of time of recovery when you've been over?
Like, you come back up, like, they cut you completely open. Do you know what I mean? And so, like, when you come out of it, you have to actually make your lungs work again. Like, you're blown into this, it's like an apparatus that looks like a kid's toy that the balls have to, and you're like, you know, and it's the pain is, I think I overdosed on the morphine switch now, to be honest. I was just click, 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 you know. And funny story as well, you're not supposed to drink anything at the time. And I think it was one of my friends came in with a bottle of Lucozade in his hand, and I was like parching, because you're so groggy, like, from all the stuff that's going into your body. So I drank one of them and I said, get down and get me another one, will you? And he went down. Well, I was as wired to the moon. They actually had to wean me off, like, cold turkey. Swear to God. Yeah, because of the sugar. My levels just shot up through the roof.
So how long in total did it take you to... I mean, is there a chance you could have rejected the kidney?
Oh, yeah, completely. The kidney can... Like, that's the way it happens. If the kidney... Like, a guy that got transplanted at the same time as me, his father travelled over from Australia. Like, you can imagine now, all that travelling, went through all the tests and everything, and the kidney failed.
Oh, God.
Yeah, now, so, yeah, to be honest, as he said, when we got the evaluation after and we were all stitched up and everything was good, you had to go back and get your dressings changed and all that for about 2 weeks. And there was so much to take in because, like, I'm on 24 tablets now for the rest of my life, but it's a small deal to pay, you know. But, like, how... It's up to you. They said, like, it's like having a baby. You don't look after it, the baby's not going to live. Do you know what I mean?
It's been a big change in your life for a guy. Like, you're quite young.
Yeah.
You have to accept, like, the
32.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, to accept this and it's going to change your life. You're going to be on medication, which is a small price to pay, but still and all, it has changed your life.
Debbie, I'll tell you one thing, though. It's changed it for the better a million times over.
Did your life change in any way after this? Did you see a different outlook on life?
Completely.
You do sing, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, and about you wrote a book as well. But Tell us a little bit how your life changed. Did you change
just
your whole outlook?
Whoever's kidney was a serious entrepreneur or someone with just the most drive, because I've never had, my attitude now is there's nothing I can't do, bar going up on a height, because I'm chronically feared of heights. Yeah. But there's nothing I can't do. That's the way I think now. And like, I'm into fitness now. I'm in the gym 3 or 4 days a week, and right. I'm doing boxing now, non-contact. I've done 5Ks. I'm running about, probably in the gym, about maybe between 15 and 20K a week. I couldn't even walk up the stairs 13 years ago. Mm.
You're restricted to anything now.
Oh, you would be. You just have to, like, you can still have a drink and stuff like that. You just can't be drinking 7 nights a week. Yeah. So, like, I watch me diet, so I watch me. But if I want to have, like, a takeaway on a Friday, or if I want to have a bar of chocolate with my little girl, I just have it. Do you know what I mean?
And if you didn't, and you just kind of ate what you wanted and drank like 6 or 7 nights a week, what could happen?
Like the George Best thing with the liver, basically. A year after I got the kidney, I was in a job at the time, and your man was just a cowboy, and he was holding back wages, etc., etc. And I was a bit stressed out, and I didn't realise how important the tablets were. And I did nearly get a rejection on the kidney because I wasn't taking them. And they had to bring me in for a week. We were booked to go to Corfu, and we had to cancel that. And they brought me in for a week, pumped me full of steroids. And after that, I said, right, Ken, cop yourself on.
Yeah,
and regimentally,
chance,
I take it now. Do you know what I mean?
Had
so
a second chance. And now you're saying you have a baby. And
yeah, well, I have an older girl anyway. My oldest girl is 20. She's in her second year in college now doing makeup. And she's working as well. And then my youngest girl, Amelia, is 5. Now, see, Nicole would have been pre-transplant and dialysis. So Amelia is post. So a lot of the time, the tablets can make you infertile. It doesn't always happen.
So
like,
you've
been
very lucky, really, haven't you?
Extremely lucky.
Really, with everything. But we're going to play one of your tracks. We know that you perform.
Cool.
You do a lot of Michael Bublé, a lot of swing.
And
a lot of the clubs around, but you're more now doing
I kind of suit myself now. I'm at it now. I set it up back in 2010, and I was kind of doing the pubs and stuff like that, but the kind of stuff I do, it's more suited to kind of corporate and gala dinners and bistros and restaurants and stuff like that. So kind of suit myself.
You're not
into
the pubs anymore.
Not really. Not being snobby, but just I think they suit better, you know. So
well, we'll have a listen to one.
I like drinking in pubs now.
This is you singing "Summer Wind."
Wind came blowing in from across the sea. It lingered there to touch your hair and walk with me. All summer long, we sang a song. Then we strolled that golden sand. Two sweethearts and the summer wind.
Normally, no.
There you go, I know. Well, that sounds great, Ken.
Ah, sure look. The old Irish saying, the answer to everything.
No, really, really good. I'm just reading you don't play in pubs anymore because there's nowhere really we can go into.
We do. Like, I'll tell you, I kind of was doing stuff. I had been doing the Talca House years ago, and then I got out of there. I was with a band and stuff like that. Not purposely. I think it just changed kind of hands and stuff. Now, I've been back there since, and it went down great. So I'm hoping to get back down there. See, I live up in Rathdowell to myself, so I do a lot of stuff up that direction.
Yeah.
You know, so hopefully get back down to the Talca House.
Yeah, the Talca's actually good. We go there. It's the last Friday of every month.
It's great.
Yeah, sounds very
exactly.
good. Yeah.
Now, the last time I was down there, I think what he said he wants to do is a ladies' night and get it back down, because, like, the night I went down, I was absolutely rattling because I was saying, I haven't been down here in 3 years. The last time I was down here was with a 6-piece band. And I got down. And you always know when the tears far away from you are singing the Moray Richard, you know what I mean? They're all swaying. Yeah. So it was a good night, thank God, you know?
Yeah. Ah, no, you
very
have
good.
To get back down there and see. So listen, you were 10 years over the transplant gone, December gone.
Just December gone,
and,
yeah.
And you're hoping to take part in the British Transplant Games in August.
In August, yeah, with a bit of luck. I've been speaking to a very good dear friend of mine who's probably listening today, Harry Ward. Harry would be kind of in charge of the transplant team. He's the captain.
Okay.
And Colin White is the guy. He's the head of the IKA. and I've just been in touch with them because there is one in June, but I was going to miss that one because I'm going on holidays in June, and I kind of says, you know, I'm busy all year with the singing, so I kind of, when I get a holiday, I'll take it. So I was just saying, you said, no, there's one on in Britain, so I'm hoping to, I have to get register for it now and then start training for it then. But I said, I'm training in the background anyway, so.
So you have all your energy back up 100%?
20% over. I'm that annoying person in the morning, you know, that gets up at 20 to 6, you know.
Tell us a little bit about the book you have.
The book is basically more or less what I told you there. Well, there's a lot more inside. It's just, it's called Just Ken Kieran, My Kidney Journey, and the next chapter is basically the main name of it. It's just channeling from diagnosis right up to like what's happened to me in the last 10 years between, you know, meeting Michael Bublé, singing with Michael Fassbender, and just where it's got me.
Over in Vegas.
Ah, savage now, to be honest. A lot of people say different things about, he was a gent that night now.
Was he?
In Las Vegas. And but yeah, so just, it's
and
loads
here,
of stuff.
When he comes over here in July to play in Crow Park, will you meet him then?
Oh, Jesus, I don't think so.
I have to take it out. I'm trying to see.
Oh, are you going, are you?
Yeah.
Oh, good woman yourself. Now, I'm going with a pal of mine who works for Warner Music, but I'd say Bublé now, to be honest, which he'll come over and he'll do the gig and he'll want to either
go,
go home to bed, or, because as far as I know now, the rumour, I think there's a third one on the way, but it hasn't been announced officially, you know. So I'm with the little fella.
Well, he's had a hard time as well, and hopefully,
yeah, exactly.
I'm looking forward to it, really looking forward to it. But listen, Ken, we could talk on and on and on.
Ah, sure, I know.
And maybe you'll come in on my lunchtime show and
no problem. I'd love to
sing a little bit, because I've only been able to listen to one song now. But
I'd love to do that.
On a lunchtime show, we do from 1 to 2. You a few songs, and people can hear what you really like. I mean, that does sound great, and you can let us know when you're performing. So listen, thanks a million for coming in today. And
I was just on today.
It's like, sure.
I'm going to run a little competition.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
<Give away. laughs>
I have a show, 2 syllables.
All right.
I have a show coming up in the Dreacht in Blanchardstown on Thursday, May the 31st. It's a celebration concert, basically, to just mark my 10 years. I wanted to do something big. So it's just called Sinatra, but nothing but the best.
That's actually a nice venue.
Oh, it's lovely. Tickets are available from your have me giggling now. Tickets are available from dreacht.ie, €22 and €20 concession. But I'm going to run a competition today.
That you don't do competitions, do giveaways.
Oh, giveaway. Well, then a giveaway.
Well,
they can answer a question if they want.
Tickets, whoever rings.
Two tickets, exactly, right.
Right,
but they have to say, what's Frank Sinatra's middle name?
Okay.
When
you have
ring
to tell
in.
Me that, because
exactly.
I don't know.
Exactly.
And so it's only one night performance, is it?
One night performance, yeah. It's basically going to be the start of a tour, but I'm going on holidays then after that, and then there'll be more shows later on in the year. Yet to be announced.
Okay, Ken, thanks a million, and we'll talk to you soon, okay?
And you gave me the giggles.
Thanks.
See you later. Thanks very much,
Emma. Download the podcast and catch up on your listening at near.ie.
Near FM.
The sounds.